I have checked my email. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know all that. But I ran across a verse not too long ago in my Bible reading, which is what you ought to do. And I've turned there, but I wasn't going to do this, but he kind of set the stage for it. And it's found in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 22, that says this: "Because with the lies have they made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising life." And basically what God is doing, he's chiding the prophets of Israel because by their lies they had made the righteous sad, and they'd also strengthened the hands of the unrighteous by promising them life, thus keeping those unrighteous people in their wicked way. And I kind of see that's the way that the world operates to try to help people with problems of living. They give them all these empty promises, and there is no life that's there. I want you to think about it, and I think we were talking about it recently, maybe in the last day or two. If the world's solutions are solving the problems of people, why are the problems of people growing in our world today? And it's because they're giving them empty promises. There is no life that's there. So I appreciate him saying all that. All right, so I ask you to do two things this morning. We're have a quiz. I'm not going to give out full-blown Reese's peanut butter cups, but I am going to give out Tootsie Rolls for my quiz tomorrow night. So this is not a part of that quiz. So I want to read to you Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, that I mentioned this morning, that I'd ask you to do these two things. Remember, number one, pray that prayer, "Search me, O God," verse 23, "and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So what David is doing there, again, he is allowing God to pull everything out, right? Pull everything out. See if there's anything there that doesn't need to be there. Something like anger or bitterness. Maybe discouragement has set in. We're going to talk about some of those areas this week. So the first thing is to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Will you do that? Will you honestly say, "Lord, I don't know if there's anything in my life right now that I'm struggling with, but if there is, will you search my heart? Will you pull it out and let me and show it to me?" And then if he does show you that, will you deal with it? I mean, those are honest questions to ask you to do. If you desire to seek the Lord and to know God's working in your life, that should be, really, that ought to be all of our prayer. Yeah. Every one of us, myself included. Because I want to make sure that my heart is right, that there's nothing that's between me and the Lord. So we ask you to do that. All right, so this afternoon I went home and we had a good roast taters and carrot Sunday afternoon lunch. And then I decided that I was going to go study the back of my eyelids to make sure there wasn't any light getting out, amen, or getting in. So I came up with a little acrostic. So this is going to be on the quiz tomorrow night. You ready? You know what a saint is? Sunday afternoon is nap time, okay? Saint. So if you're a saint on Sunday afternoons, that means that you took a nap this afternoon. Do we have any saints amongst us? Okay, good for you. Amen, amen, amen. So K Keep that in mind, for it might be on a quiz this week. So, all right. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. What are we talking about this morning? Anybody remember? It's not a quiz time, but I just want to make sure. How many listened today? What did we talk about this morning? We talked about what? Anybody remember? Slept since then? Probably not enough. What did we talk about this morning? Don't ask her. You're supposed to know. Yes, ma'am.
The enemy within.
The enemy within, right? Romans chapter 7, right? Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. That what I hate, that do I. So Ephesians chapter 4, and let's see. Why don't we stand? We'll stand for the reading of God's Word here. And I'll try not to preach in between reading of the verses. You know, sometimes preachers do that, right? They get to going and they, you looked at your dad. Is that what he does? He preaches the verses in between. So, all right. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He and Pilate were having a conversation one time, and Pilate looked at him and said, and what is truth? And Jesus could have gone, me. All right, so I'm preaching between the verses right here. All right, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Right? So he says, put off lying, and what's lying replaced with? Truth. All right, he says, you put off lying, you replace it with truth. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, no rotten speech, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, we're going to talk about bitterness this week, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're going to talk about bitterness being replaced by forgiveness. Not tonight, but later on in the week. So I'm setting the stage for you to be here every night this week. You have no idea what we're going to talk about tomorrow night, because I'm not going to tell you. But you need to be here. Not because I'm preaching, but you need to be here. Okay? You will make time for whatever you deem to be important in your life. You will do that. Right? You will do that. So tonight I want to talk about being spiritually well involves biblical change. So we tried to kind of lay a foundation this morning talking about the evil within. So tonight we're going to talk about how a biblical change can take place in my life and in your life. So let's pray. Father, we need you. Thank you for our time together, and I pray that you bless the rest of the evening and the message. Lord, help us to be able to convey the truths of the message tonight. We ask that if there be one that's here tonight, or perhaps even listening by live stream, that needs a Savior, dear God, that you'd speak to them, help them to see their need for Jesus. And bless now our time together. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. I don't know about you, but change is hard.
It's hard. Change sometimes. Trying to lose weight is one of the most difficult things. So I recently ran across a poll that named the top five New Year's resolutions. We're not that far from a new year. It's hard to believe. Thanksgiving is a week from this coming Thursday, and Christmas is right around the corner. The Hewitts have already got their house decorated for Christmas. I think they started it back in July. I'm not sure. I wasn't here then, but they are big, big Christmas decorator type people. And so maybe you've been thinking about, well, you know, maybe with the new year, right? New year, people want to do some things. So I read this at the beginning of this year, but there were the top five New Year's resolutions. Here they are. Number one is exercise. I don't like that E word, do you? Exercise. Number two is eat healthy. Now, what do you think number three would be? Because if you do number one and number two, number three falls into place. You lose weight. That's number three. Number four is spend less, as in money. Spend less. And then number five would be more time with family and friends. So those were the top five New Year's resolutions at the beginning of 2025. Now I want you to think about each of those, all right? Exercise, eat healthy, lose weight, spend less money, spend more time with family and friends. Each of those things that I just named takes a strong commitment to change something that you are doing to doing something different or better. Did you get that? It takes a strong commitment, right, to exercise. We moved into a little house on the south side of Oklahoma City, and it's about two blocks from the Moore city limits. And in May of last year, we moved there in April. In May of last year, they opened up a brand new YMCA that is for people that are 50 years old and older. If you are younger than 50, you can't even go in there and do anything. And so it's, you know, we're over 50. I don't know if you know that or not, but we're quite a bit on the other side of 50. And so we started going there, and we go there 2-3 times a week. They have this thing called an e-gym, and it's got different stations that you go to. So right after we went there, my wife had just had a rotator cuff surgery, and so she's recovering for it. And the first time we go through there, they evaluate you through the, you know, using these different machines and, you know, that type of thing. And so we get done, and I'm 71 at that time, and I tested out at 72. So I'm thinking, man, I'm a bum, you know. So my wife finished hers, and she gets on the thing, and 94 pops up. And I say, she's dead. 94. All right. Now, again, she just had a rotator cuff surgery. So she wasn't in shape. But now we're back down to where we ought to be. I mean, it's but we have to commit ourselves to doing that, right? So if you want to lose weight, you want to exercise, you want to spend less money, you want to spend more time with family and friends, it takes a strong commitment to change, doesn't it? You've got to make some changes in your life if you expect for those things to take place. So when it comes to our spiritual health, and I want to use that a lot this week, when it comes to our spiritual wellness, it is evident from God's Word that God expects something different in our lives. Amen? You can't keep doing the same old thing over and over again and expect to have different results. I've heard it said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You can't continue to go in the direction that you're going in your spiritual life and expect for things to get better. There has to be a commitment on your part and on my part to make the changes necessary to become spiritually well. I mentioned this verse this morning in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where Paul says, "For whom he did foreknow." That's a Bible word. That's not a word that the Calvinists made up. The foreknowledge of God is a Bible thing. He knows, doesn't he? He's an omniscient God. He knows all things. And he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That's another Bible word. That's not a word that the Calvinists made up. That is a word that's a Bible word. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What is that noise? Did I do something wrong? Okay. I heard a crashing sound. All right. Sorry about that. I got distracted. Where was I? Romans 8:29. Here it is. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So what does that mean? That means that God's desire for my life and your life is to become like his Son, Jesus. What does the word Christian mean? It means Christ-like, doesn't it? Are we popping here? Can y'all hear it? All right, anyway. Yes, Lord. Sound equipment. There's a couple of things in the world that are demon-possessed. One of them are computers, and the other is sound equipment. I used to say sound men, but you know that I kind of insulted some people that way. So I won't say that, because your brother's back there, right? Yeah, anyway, and he's hiding. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So in the process of this idea of spiritual growth and spiritual wellness, we need to know where we're going and how to get there. So how do we get there? Well, you don't want to be like the Christopher Columbus Award. Anybody heard the Christopher Columbus Award? Here it is. This award goes to those who, like good old Christopher Columbus, when they set out to do something, don't know where they're going, neither do they know how to get there. And when they arrive, they don't know where they are, and when they return, they don't know where they've been. So when it comes for you and I to change spiritually, that's what this is about tonight, changing biblically, a biblical change taking place in our life, we need to know how to get there. And when we get back from there, we need to know where we've been and how we've gotten there. Right? So we want to learn some things about spiritual change. And so when we think about this tonight, we're talking about another Bible word, and that's the word sanctification. Sanctification. Am I doing something wrong? Oh. All right, let's just do the pulpit mic. I just won't move around. Go ahead and turn this. Oh, my head. All right. So I'll just take this off and we'll do the pulpit mic. Is that okay? And I'll just have to stand right here and not move around because I'm not. Okay. All right. Can you catch? No, I won't do that. That would be bad. All right. So we'll just stay right here behind the pulpit mic. You can crank it down just a little bit because I'm probably going to get blow people's ears out. All right. So the Bible word that I want to talk about tonight, and it applies to what we're dealing with in the area of biblical change, is the word sanctification. All right, so when we think about the word sanctification, and I'll give you some verses to help you to understand this. Sanctification, in the sense that we are discussing tonight, is also known in this way. It is a progressive sanctification. Now, when we use, as preachers, we use the word progressive, and it's not always a good thing to talk about, well, this church is progressive. It means maybe they've moved a little bit left to where they need to be, right? But for us, as I want to explain it this way. As we yield ourselves every day to God, to the Holy Spirit, God begins to set us apart. It's a practical thing. It happens when you and I submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. And the word sanctification just carries the idea of being set apart. That's all it means. And it's used in reference to our salvation. So I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, for a moment here. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And let's look at verse. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, I'm in chapter 7, that's why. Okay. The microphone thing got me distracted. All right, go back, let's see. Look at verse number 9. Look at verse number 9, 1 Corinthians 6. Now know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that basically means this: if you're not saved, you're not going to be in heaven. Is that right? Is that what he's saying? But then he goes on and he gives a whole list of others. He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a whole list of people that he says that if you're in this category, the chances are you're not born again. And then he says in verse number 11, and I love this part, and such were what? Some of you. This is what you were. He gives a whole list of those that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he said, this is what you were. But notice what else he says. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I am so glad that Paul put that in there, but such were some of you. And some of you were fall into the category of what Paul's talking about right here in these verses. But you're not that anymore. You say, well, what happened? You were washed. Hey, listen, you were sanctified. You were set apart by God through salvation. You are justified. Justified is a judicial term. It means to be declared righteous. So before you were unrighteous, but now here's what you were. This is what you were, but now this is what you are. How did that come about? Through salvation. So Paul says this. This is what you were, but now you're something different. So Paul is making reference to their salvation. And when you got saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ, I was a 9-year-old little boy living in Amarillo, Texas, and my dad was my Sunday school teacher, and he sat down, he opened up the Bible one day and showed me how to get saved. As a 9-year-old little boy in Amarillo, Texas, when I got saved, listen, God made me something different. And he says to them, this is what you were, but now you are something different. And every believer, if you're born again by the Spirit of God, every one of us is set apart unto God at salvation. And His righteousness has been credited to our account. And it's almost as if God has taken our unrighteousness and taken it out and put the righteousness of Christ in its place. And Paul says, now you're something different. So the word sanctification is used in reference to our salvation, but it is also used in reference to our spiritual growth. Jesus said this in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Now, he's talking about his disciples, and John 17 is a wonderful chapter where it's almost as if Jesus has opened up the curtains of heaven and let us enter into the throne room of God, and he's having this conversation with his Father on his way to die on the cross. And in John 17, he is talking to his Father, and he's having this conversation with him, and he tells him, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, obviously, we understand, other than Judas, all the disciples they belonged to the Lord, right? They were his. They were his children. They were his followers. And obviously, they were saved. So Jesus' prayer for them was that God would set them apart for his use. And God used them, didn't he? And that work is done in my life and in your life every day as we get into the Word of God. So sanctification is used in reference to our salvation. It's used in reference to our spiritual growth, but it's also used in the process by which God changes us to become more like His Son Jesus. That happens through our attitudes. Right? Through our attitude. It happens through our ambitions. What are your ambitions when it comes to your spiritual growth? It happens through our actions. In other words, it's the process of spiritual growth. Now, and I want to add this right here. So when we talk about sanctification, it's not just any old change. Because the change that we are talking about in the context of our message tonight has to do with us becoming like Christ. Okay? More often than not, most of the changes that we want to take place in our life is with our circumstances or our situations in life. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We say things like this. Life would be so much better if, and you fill in the blank. Okay? So whatever came to your mind when I said that, life would be so much better if I had a different job. I had a different house. Or I wish I had a different spouse. I hope that's not what you're saying. But you just fill in the blank. Life would be so much better if. And whatever comes to your mind, you fill in the blank. I'll give you this example. I pastored in Abilene, Texas, in our home church. Well, it wasn't really our home church, but we lived in Abilene, went there to Bible college, and the church that is in the city, Highland Park Baptist Church is the name of the church, doesn't exist anymore, but they were looking for a pastor, and they called us to come and be their pastor, and and we had our family in it. My mom, my dad, my wife's parents, some of my sisters, her sister, and I like to say it was an enjoyable, and it was, but your pastor, your own family, it can be a challenge. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to get into that. But we had a man in our church that was constantly saying this to me. If we could just get back to California, things would be so different in our life. And I don't know if he said that three times, he said it a dozen times. And he got to saying it so much that I called him in my own thought, not to him, not to his face, I called him the California Dreamer. Because that's all they talked about. If we could just get back to California. Well, he did. Eventually, they moved back to California. And things didn't get any better. Because and his son got arrested for some horrible crimes. I mean, it was just terrible things that he did. Because here's what I want you to notice. Here's what I want the point I want to make. The problem isn't a geographical problem. You can change locations. You can change churches. You can change even your spouse. But if your heart doesn't change, all you do is take your problems with you. Does that make sense? You may change the circumstances or the situations in your life, but if your heart doesn't change, you're not going to change. Now, I love coffee. And one of the first things when Mrs. Hewitt was asking what kind of things we like, I like coffee and I like creamer. And she's stocked her refrigerator up with creamer, peppermint mocha creamer. So I get up this morning. She already had a pot of coffee going. Went in there, poured it up, put some peppermint mocha creamer in there. And I was walking in tall cotton. That's a terminology they use in the South somewhere, but I also like to drink hot tea. I do. I like hot tea. My wife, she'll fix a chamomile tea, and because it's sleepy time or I don't know. But I don't know if you girls remember on our office on the third floor, we always had a little hot water pot and we had tea bags. She'd go to Dollar Tree and buy some boxes of teas, and we'd had all kinds of tea bags in there, and we also had little cups. We provided the cups, and so in between breaks, in between hours, students come in and they could
get them a cup of tea. We also had a little M&M machine, and we had a little bowl with pennies in it. It took pennies, and you could stick a penny in there and crank it and get 4 or 5 M&Ms. We finally had to put a sign on the front of it, 1 crank per customer, because, I mean, you know, college kids, free stuff. You know, they were coming in. I mean, crank after crank, and we finally had to put a sign on it, and 1 crank per customer. So, but we like to do that. Now, you think about a cup of tea. When you put the tea bag in the water, the flavor of the tea is released. This is deep right here, isn't it? Okay. Now, the hot water didn't necessarily create the flavor of the tea. It only revealed what was in the tea bag. Is that right? Okay, everybody with me? So the situations in your life don't necessarily create your response. They only serve to reveal what's already in our words, in our heart, in our actions. So here's the deal. If you don't like the flavor of your life, change the contents of your heart. Because if you don't change your heart, the changes necessary for spiritual growth are not going to take place. Right? So that's all introduction. You ready for the message? Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the goal of biblical change. And again, the result of sanctification in our lives is that we become increasingly more like Jesus Christ. We've already established that. In other words, we become, what I put in my notes here, a grown-up Christian. And I want you to think about this. God is so pleased with His Son that He desires for you and I to be like His Son, Jesus. He did everything pleasing to the Father. You say, well, of course He did. He's Jesus. He's God in human flesh. But Romans 8:29 says that God desires for us to be just like His Son, Jesus. Doesn't He? And so the result of this, as you and I yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God every day, we become a grown-up Christian. My son Josh, who's 40 years old now, but we were praying one time. We used to have family devotions, meet together as a family at 6:30 in the morning every morning. And during the school year, we'd meet together and have breakfast together, and we'd have family devotions together. So one day Josh is praying, and he said, Lord, help our church grow up. And I'm thinking, oh, he's heard his dad say, Lord, help our church grow. Right? I mean, pastors, kids, hear their dads say that. But I like that. Help our church grow up. Because God wants you and I to be grown-up Christians. Grown-up Christians meaning what? Meaning that we become like Jesus, His Son, who is our example of who we need to follow and be like when it comes to our spiritual growth. So that's the goal of biblical change. Number two is this. Think with me for a moment, the person of change. When you got saved, God did a miracle in your life. A couple of things He did for you. Number one, He gave you eternal life. Right now. Did you know that? You have eternal life right now. You say, well, I'm going to have it later too. But you have it right now. He gave you eternal life. You will never have to worry about spending an eternity in hell. Ever, 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 ever. So that's one thing that He did. Another thing that He did for us is that He sent the Spirit of God to dwell inside of us. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 1. We have the Spirit of God, that earnest, that's kind of like the down payment that God gave us. You know, when you buy a house, you put down earnest money. What does that mean? It means that you're earnest about the purchase. Well, God put down some earnest money in your life, and that's when He sent the Spirit of God to live inside of you. And the Spirit of God is there to guide you. Jesus talked about this. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. And I love that word another because it means just like the one you've already had, but I will send the Comforter, and He will guide you into all truth. So He's not here physically with us, but He gave us the very next best thing He could give to us. And that is that He gave us the Holy Spirit of God to actively work in my life and in your life to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And so as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God every day, it's an listen, it's not a one-time some kind of experience that you have. It's a constant thing of getting up every day and asking God to guide you and direct you and to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis. So any change that takes place in your life and in my life are the results of you and I yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God every day. Getting up tomorrow morning and saying, Lord, help me to be yielded to You today. I have a little prayer list that I use. I don't have it in my Bible here, but I have it on my phone. And I love to get up in the morning and go for a walk. And knowing we're at home, and you know, it's challenges when you're out on the road. But we have a little gated community there. I think there are 93 homes in our little community, and we live in a cul-de-sac. And I can get up in the morning and go out my door. And okay, now listen, that's my prayer time. I don't run. We were talking about that yesterday. Because if I ran, I couldn't breathe enough to pray. So and I walk. And one of the first things that I do when I get up go out of the house that morning is I say, thank You, Lord, for another day of life and breath. All right, I'm going to take a real quick poll here. I need 100% participation. Are you ready? How many of you got up this morning? Let me see your hands. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, you're dead sitting there in the pew. But do you know why you got up today? Because you have a God that let you get up. So we ought to thank the Lord. And that's my prayer time. And during my prayer time, I say, Lord, help me to be yielded to You. And I'm not bragging. This is not me saying, oh, you're so spiritual. If you knew who I was, like my wife knows who I is, you wouldn't be saying that. But I do ask the Lord to help me to be yielded to Him. Because I want to be yielded to Him. He said, oh, you only did that because you're here preaching this week. No, I did that before I came here. That's part of my prayer time. Lord, help me to be yielded to You. And as you and I yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God every day, that process of change takes place in our life. So it's the Spirit of God, isn't it? Using the Word of God that helps us to become like Jesus. And the process of change is a process that takes place as you and I, and I'll just say it this way, as you and I restrain the flesh. Remember we talked about the flesh this morning? Restraining the flesh. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. As we restrain our flesh. As you know, again, if you're trying to quit eating Krispy Kreme donuts, don't drive by the Krispy Kreme donut shop waiting for the sign to light up. You know, right? Here's what I'm trying to say. You can't keep doing the same things and expect different results. So we restrain our flesh. We renew our mind. I mentioned that this morning where Paul says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind every day? We get in the Word of God, don't we? We open up the Bible tomorrow morning, get you a cup of coffee with peppermint mocha cream in it, and sit down and read your Bible tomorrow. Do the same thing on Tuesday. Right? Every day of the week, you need to be in the Word of God every day. You renew your mind by being in God's Word every day. And then the third thing is that you reflect your Lord. I love this. This is a great deal. A track. I'm going to pick some of these out. I picked up a couple of yours. These weren't out there a while ago. But I picked up a couple of these, and I'm going to grab some of these. We go to Walmart, we go to the gas station. Anybody can give out a tract. You don't have to know the Romans Road to give somebody a tract. Say, hey, I want to give this to you. Would you read it? And they may open it up, and they may say, hey, listen, I've been looking for a church. You never know. You never know. By reflecting your Lord. Jesus said it this way, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. I think about salt. Salt relates to our character, and light relates to our conduct. Do you ever think about that? Salt, preservative, right? Salt relates to our character, and light relates to our conduct. And Jesus said, you're the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. We ought to be reflecting our Lord. We ought to be reflecting who Jesus is in our life every day. People will look at us and say, something different about you. And there is something different about you. And that's this. You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the relevancy for us this week? And again, I've mentioned some of the things that we're going to talk about, all right, this week. And I haven't fully decided on the order yet. I think I'm going to preach on discouragement tomorrow night, I think. But don't hold me to that, because it's a preacher's prerogative, right? Feel how the Lord leads. But so what's the relevancy for you and I tonight when we think about this idea of biblical change? Here's the relevancy. Number one is this. I want you to identify areas of your life that need biblical change. Areas of your life that need biblical change. And I could give you some specifics, and maybe I will do that. Maybe it's the kind of music that you listen to. Maybe it's the music that doesn't give glory to God. Yeah, music is not neutral. It impacts our lives. It does. We are at their house and they got, what's the thing? It's not Siri, but what is it called? Alexa. So she was messing with Alexa and said, Alexa, turn on the lamps. And the lamps came on. And I said, I'm going to try that. Alexa, turn off the lamps. And the lamps went off. And she had some music. And I said, all right, Alexa, play Eine kleine Nachtmusika by Mozart. And it began to play on the Alexa. I'm a huge classical music fan. I love classical music. You know what Eine kleine Nachtmusika means? It means a little night music by Mozart. Then I said, play Nessun Dorma, which is a piece from an opera that I like. And so I told her, I said, my wife, we're driving down the road one day and listening to this classical music station. And I look at her and I said, I bet you a kiss that's Tchaikovsky. She said, oh yeah, sure. So the guy comes on after the piece is over and he said, that's Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. So I just stick my hand out there like that. And she had to kiss the back of my hand. So I love classical music. But maybe it's the kind of music you listen to. Maybe it's things that you watch on your television or on your computer. Maybe it's the places you go. So what I'm asking you to do is to identify the areas of your life that need biblical change. All right? Remember we talked about restraining the flesh. That's what we're talking about. Recognize those times during the day. Listen, here's another thing I'm going to ask you to do. When you can cooperate with God's plan to change your life. And that falls under the category of renewing your mind. Ask God to show you those times during your day when you can cooperate with God's plan to change your life. I don't even know if I remember if I told my wife this, but my wife was instrumental in me getting right with the Lord. I got saved when I was 9 years old, but wandered away from God for most of my teenage years. And for a very small window of time, we were faithful in church. And I think I told her this, but I got off into the world and I did things that were not right for a Christian to be doing. You know, many of us sometimes we've been down that road a little bit, and it's a dead end street. I figured that out a long time ago. It's a dead end road. And so I can remember pulling up in front of a convenience store, and I wanted to go in, and I had indulged in smoking cigars. I'm just giving my testimony. And I pull up, and I'm out on visitation for our church. And I just am thinking, man, I really want to have a cigar. So I pulled in the parking lot of this convenience store, and I'm sitting in my car. And I'm telling you, preacher, I was having a battle. And my flesh was saying, go in there and get one. It's not going to hurt anything. And the Spirit of God was saying, if you do, you'll run it for you. And I sat there and I battled that and I battled that. And I finally just said, Lord, I can't do this. And I put it in gear and I pulled out of the parking lot. And that's the last time. Listen, and this is not me bragging. It's the last time I ever had that desire again in my life. At that moment, I was at a crossroads, wasn't I, in my life. And I could have yielded, and I could have given in to that temptation, and I would have felt guilty and under conviction immediately after that. And I just determined right then and there that I'm not going to do it. So that was a time when I was cooperating with God's Spirit working in my heart. And then ask God to burden you with the needs of others around you. You have people all around you. You have people two blocks down the road that need what you have. You have people you go to school with every day that need what you have. You have people that you work with every day that need what you have. You can give them a tract. Say, hey, we have a special meeting at our church this week. Would you come? But if you don't come, let me give this to you. And it just tells you about Jesus. You can do that. So you restrain the flesh. You renew your mind every day by being in the Word of God. And then you reflect your Lord. All right, so when we think about true biblical change, there's only one way that true biblical change can take place. You know what that is? They're having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you aren't saved and you just decide, okay, I'm gonna read my Bible, I'm gonna go to church, all these things. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all it is outward things. You need an inward change. You need that change that takes place through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's number one, you need to be saved if you're not saved tonight. Okay? You said, well, man, we were here this morning. You said the same thing. I'm going to probably say it tomorrow night, too. Do you know why? Because people need Jesus, don't they? I have a message that I preach for a missions conference called Every House Needs Jesus. And we do. Be in God's Word every day. I'm not going to ask you to make me a promise, but I would encourage you tomorrow morning when you get up, open up your Bible and read God's Word. So I don't have time for God's Word. I want you to listen to what you just said. You better make time. You remember what I said a while ago? You will make time for whatever you deem to be important in your life. And reading God's Word and having a prayer time, that's the most important thing you can do in your life. So be in the Word of God every day. Biblical change. Identify some areas in your life that are keeping you from becoming what Jesus and God wants you to be. That's what we're talking about. Biblical change. True biblical change is needed if we are to become like His Son, Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions as we bow together for prayer and prepare for the invitation. Number one is this: are you saved tonight? Do you know that if you died today, that heaven would be your home? If you're not, Tonight would be the wonderful opportunity God's given you to be right here tonight to give you that salvation. So if you're not saved tonight, let me encourage you to come. Let me ask you this question. How are you spiritually? Are you well spiritually? Do you need some biblical change to take place in your thinking, in your living? Can you, right now, think about you, not someone else, but can you think of some areas in your life right now that you need to make some changes? Again, maybe it's the music, programs you watch on television, the places that you go, your social media accounts. Hey, it could be even this, some of the friends that you have. My son Jason says this at a youth rally one time. He said, "You show me your friends and I'll show you your future." So maybe there's some changes that God's shown to you tonight that you need to make. Change is hard. But if we're going to be spiritually well, change is necessary. So Lord, I thank You tonight for the opportunity that we've had to be here. And I pray that You bless the rest of the evening. And thank You for everything that You are. And I do pray that if there be some here tonight that are saved, but yet they have some things that You brought to their mind that they need to get rid of in their life. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians 4. We didn't have time to go through that and develop that, but he talks about putting off and putting on. Lord, it's important that we put off these things that are keeping us from being like Jesus, and that we replace them with righteous things that can help us to become like Jesus. So speak to hearts tonight and bless. In Jesus' name we pray.